Quiet, quiet, quiet in the room, quiet in the court of cyber, and the court is in session. Today, we are going to be talking about passwords. Yes, you love it. I love it. Everyone loves it. The longer and more complex the password, the more love we have towards it. Passwords have been weak. Passwords have been a weak link in security for decades, until their births, actually. And they are leading, and they have been leading, and they are leading us towards countless breaches as we speak, ongoingly. But just a crazy idea, what if we didn't need them anymore? Joining us is Podrick Conway from Keeper Security, Password Management and Zero Trust Security. We will discuss what is a passwordless future, how does it look like, why it's relevant and important, and how businesses can start transitioning now. So, if you love the show, then show it in internet. Press the like button, press the comment button, and tell it to your friends. Tell your friends that you love the Cybercast podcast, and tell your friends as well. If you would like to have some kind of topic included to the show, then tell us about it. You can send us an email, for example, cybercast@neverhack.com. So, hello, Podrick.
Hello there, how are you doing?
Podrick, who are you?
First of all, thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to talk to you. I hear you're doing really good things in this area, so thank you. You've been doing it for quite a while as well, so you have covered a range of topics already. So It's great, well done. My name is Podrick. I am Irish, and I represent Keeper Security in the area of password management platforms. Keeper has been around for since 2011 and growing in the area and growing in functionality according to requirements from customers, in keeping people safe and bringing awareness to the idea of passwords.
Mm-hmm. So you are in the business of passwords, right?
We're in the area of passwords.
And now we are speaking about passwordless future. So are you going out of business?
No, passwords are never going out of business. We just want to make sure that it's easier for you to use your passwords, but giving you a longer, complex password and an application that makes it easy for you to use. So now the hacker can't really get at your passwords, and the password you use can be 100 characters long. Because I don't need to remember my passwords anymore, because I've got a convenient application that comes with me everywhere that I can use the long, complex password.
So why are passwords failing us as a civilization?
Because there's more applications to be used. There is more apps and devices and everything out there. And I can't remember all my passwords. Even if I could, I use my daughter's name. Mm-hmm. Even if I could use that, it'll last me in a couple of months' time to change it. So then I go, my daughter's name is Hannah. I go, Hannah123. Hannah, password 123. And Hannah, my house name, password 123. And I can't remember that next week because I've got my bank. I've got my LinkedIn. I've got my fridge. I've got my phone. I've got a million other locations to put in a password. And which version of the password have I put in today? Which version did I put in last week? And it's password fatigue. We need security. We need the ability to put in a password in every location. Passwords are not going away by any stretch of the imagination. But we'll chat a little bit later of how to make it easier and how to make it more secure.
So I don't have any idea how many accounts I have. I believe that
the average person would have about 73. That's on a private basis. Yeah. And then, of course, you've got all the ones for work, for your customers, for their devices, for their databases, and the list goes on and goes on. So 73 for a personal thing, and just going into your fridge, going into your phone, going into
light bulb.
soon your glasses, mm-hmm. and everything else, we do need them.
So what are other kind of meaningful statistics that we could talk about around...
To scare you?
Yeah.
Okay, let's start off by scaring you, and then we bring it back down and reassure people. Okay, yeah. So in the area of the Baltics, it's easy to look up statistics of how many hacks were in the region since, you know, just over the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. In 2022, the Estonian Information System Authority recorded 1,200 hacks in the first 6 months of 2022.
Yeah.
Okay. That over doubled in 2023. So that went up to 6,500 over the course of the full 12 months of that year. So there are so many hacks. And if you actually look at the stats again, more than half of those would actually be because of weak and reused passwords. So if I use my daughter's name, and if I use Hannah, password 123, four places. All they need to do is get it once, and they will guess what applications I'm using. They will try about 25 other applications, figure out that I've used it four times, and now they've got me in four locations.
Yes.
So it is reusing a weak password in an English word without making it complex that a hacker will use an application to crack me four times.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I used it four times, the same password.
So, and, you know, coming back to the number that you said, it was like 70, what was it?
73 is the average.
Is the average. But in actuality, we don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I know in my password manager, when I can count from there, but it's definitely more than 73, and there must be even more accounts accounts out there that I'm actually using. So I've forgotten more accounts that you haven't
used in so long. 100%.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's the reality of everyone in our digital space. Everyone who interacts somehow with the digital space has an account or two that they have forgotten.
They've tried an application and they decided, no, it's not for me. So they've left that password go. They've tried another application. They go, no, that still doesn't work for me. And they leave that one go. So yes, you're right. And if I try and come back to old services that I used when I was working for myself and come back to those old services again, I'd go, where is that password? What was it? And if you go to an easy to find application like Keeper and kind of go and put in DNS services, look up that. Oh, I used that before. What's that password? Oh, that password wasn't very good. So immediately I would go and change that password because I haven't used it for 10 years. Change that password. Now it's now long and complex. I've never looked at it. And that's great now. So it's secure in a secure location.
So why would you say that why there is no future for passwords?
There is a future for passwords, 100% there is, but we need to get it to the place that it's harder for the hackers to get at it. Okay, so there are tools out there like 2FA. What is 2FA? 2FA or MFA, multiple factor authentication, or 2FA, is asking you, Ronnie, what's your name? Mm-hmm. You say your name is Ronnie, but I said, Ronnie, what's your name? I'm asking you twice what your name is, and the second time you answer it, you'll go, why are you asking me? You slow down, you think about it, and you go, what's he really asking? Does he want my first name, middle name, and last name, or whatever? So that's what we want you to do. We want you to slow down, think about it. And in other words, for technology reasons, we want you to go to that other device and ask for the Google Authenticator rotating numbers that changes every 30 seconds. We want you to get those numbers and put it in. So it's now username, 2FA, and then your password.
So to knowing actually and log having. In. To know and to have. To know and to have. So
to you, know you, and to have. Yeah. Yes,
so,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you know the password, and then there is a second or third device as well that you need to have and have access to.
Correct. And that could actually be a FIDO key as well, so it's a physical key, so you must touch it. Mm-hmm. Or it could actually be your biometrics, so your face, and any of those sort of things stop the hacker, because they don't have your key, they don't have your 2FA, they don't have your phone, they can't get at the secondary device. If my secondary device was stolen, like my phone or my FIDO key, because it would be stuck to my keys, I would know it in an instant. If somebody stole my password, I probably wouldn't know it. If they stole my laptop, I probably wouldn't notice it for a while. But if they take my secondary device, because I use my phone, we all use our phone apparently about 150 times a day because we get notifications on our applications so often and that we would notice it if it was gone. We'd notice in our pocket because our pocket is light and immediately I would actually notice it. If it's gone, I would go, oh, where is it? Is it over there? And I'd go get it. If it's not there, I would say, I left it in the taxi. I must go ring my supplier to actually cut it off. So immediately I'm cutting off that secondary device, even if they took my laptop. Now, obviously, we hope your laptop is encrypted and you know, there's a password on that as well. And so there are other ways to lock them out of my laptop. But we want to make sure that my secondary device is okay. And I will know when my secondary device is missing because it's my left arm.
So would you say that the passwordless future and passwordless authentication boils down to the second factor of something that you need to have? Or other, is there something else as well?
There are lots of other ways as well. There are technology ways of actually doing it. So we've got a passkey. Passkey is a mathematical model to be able to create the password for you. So if I go into GitHub, for instance, there is a method of asking your username, password, and 2FA or asking for the passkey. The passkey is a mathematical equation to make up the multiplication of one, actually what it is. So my passkey is private. I need to make sure that it is kept for me. And it's a much quicker way for me to actually log in because all I need to do is press on passkey and it goes off for 2.5 seconds and I'm logged in straight away. If I'm logging with a username and password, it goes username, password, oh, 2FA, and come back over. So it's actually slightly slower. Passkeys, it's harder for the hacker to stuff it because there's no way of for them to try loads and loads of passwords because there is no attempt, there is no password in it for them. So it's very hard for them to attempt to try a million passwords inside or to do it. It also prevents hackers from tricking you into clicking a link because they're lookalike web page isn't your real web page, so the passkey will never automatically go inside there. So it's lessening the effect of the hackers trying to rush you into clicking a link and clicking and tricking you into giving away your password. So those passkeys, those technologies, are a better way of using passwords, passphrases into those web applications.
So and this is something that you have. So additional technology, and this might create kind of obstruction for some end users, or they don't understand what is it. Wouldn't it be easier to use your face as a password, or your finger, or your toenail, or your eye, your retina?
Yes, they are all biometrics. They are all methods of actually gaining access into it as well. But those are actually device driven, connected, device driven. So I would need to set it up in your laptop. Okay, I need to set it up on my laptop. I need to set it up on my phone. So they are device integrated. So if my laptop crashed, or I dropped it and it's now suddenly broken, that biometric into that device is now gone. It's not. It can't be copied and used for something else. Okay, so they're individual basis. So I need to set it up in each location. So that's great for me because I can actually use it on my phone and off I go. But if you then want to log into that same device, you're not going to get in there. It's not the same.
So basically, what you're saying is that the biometrics today are taking a hash of your face, your finger, or whatever biometrics, and that serves actually as a password to get access to your real password, or
that allows you into your device and or into your application. So if I actually go into my device, I would put in my PIN or my face or my finger, all three of them, and then I would actually go into my application, and then I can do the same thing over there again: my finger, my face, or my password. So I can actually use it on multiple locations in order to stop the user from getting in one step into my passwords.
So your typical Sunday morning, you wake up, you have overslept because it's Sunday. then you pick up your phone and it's unable to identify you. you're a completely different person on Sundays, Sunday morning. So is passwordless actually more secure, or is passwordless more secure?
It is actually more secure, but we still need to take precautions in order to protect that device. Okay. If I take a photograph of your face, it would want to be a really good 3D picture in order to fool the technology to do it. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy thing. We all see movies to easily take a fingerprint off a glass. It's not that easy for the normal person to be able to go do that, especially when the hacker is a million miles away, Kazakhstan or Dublin or whatever. It's not easy for them to be able to get my fingerprints in order for them to trick the device to be able to log in. Biometrics is local,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Whereas hackers are often not in the same country and they want to trick you into rushing to do something.
Yeah. So I recall from my days of school, it was explained to me that you need to have your password when you enter to a system. You need to have it 100% correct, right?
Mm.
Password. There is no deviation. There is 100%. It has to be what is on the system. But when we are talking about biometrics, then it's or analog authentication in that sense. It's never 100%, just because of that, Sunday morning effect.
Well, that's why when you're putting in your fingerprint, they ask for about 5 different movements of it, because you're never going to get it the same location. So they're actually trying to take a bigger picture of your finger. So when you do put it in a slightly different position, that it figures out, it is the same person, because we've taken 5 different locations or 5 different images of the, mm-hmm. the same finger.
Mm-hmm. So within that biometric space, it doesn't have to be 100%. It's never 100%. Coming back to the Sunday morning effect, right? So it's you have to hit an area of something, an area and a square. Not in the middle of the square, but a square. It's like 70%, 80%. Depends on the measuring quality.
Yeah.
The device quality and the mood and and whatnot space. So, but yes, in that sense, the hacker does not have. I recall stories about taking fingerprints and trying to Mission Impossible style stuff. And you can go through with some of the devices, but yet they are all very, very different. But does that going passwordless actually reduce security risks, or does it bring up new risks?
No, we're still getting in using the biometrics, but then when I'm actually logging into GitHub again, I've still got the access into that device. I still need to have a username and password or a passkey into that application. So we're trying to keep the perimeter going into Keeper application by using biometrics, and then going from that device into the web app, we still need a passkey. So as you say, are we getting rid of passwords? We're never getting rid of passwords, but we're trying to make it easier for the user in order to be able to use them and making them more secure. We use our phone 150 times a day.
At least,
it's not inconvenient to pick up our phone in order to authenticate again.
Mm-hmm.
The younger audience listening this evening, this morning, it's their third arm. It can't be an inconvenience in order to make it more secure. Maybe the older audience will go, "Oh my God, it's too much." But when you go and get a new car, you will say, the stuff is in a slightly different position. The clock is now reading in kilometers as opposed to miles. The tires need changing in 3 months' time. It's the same with the password management. Okay, I need to go and look it up in order to do it. It's an extra step for an awful lot more convenience. How much inconvenience would you be subject to if somebody stole your bank account, your Facebook, your LinkedIn, and they're now saying all sorts of stuff about you and they've taken your money from your bank? Just because you didn't put in one extra step to secure all that stuff, and now you've got a million other steps to try and get it all back, and you don't get your money back because that money has gone to wherever it's gone doing nefarious stuff.
Really inconvenient, I would say.
Really inconvenient.
Really
and the embarrassment of not securing it, and the embarrassment of what somebody else said on your behalf, and you've insulted people, and all of that. It must be horrendous for people to lose their accounts, all because you don't spend the extra step to pick up your phone to authenticate.
Yeah, yeah. And that also goes for the for all your accounts. I think that this is also something that everyone needs to have inventorized.
Yes, actually by 2025, web applications are meant to enforce 2FA for every single application.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. Where did that come from?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I think it's part of NIS2 that every application needs to be enforced by the end of 2025.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, but coming back to the passwordless, and who would you say in the industry are the forerunners?
For passwordless?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all the applications need to push for passkeys or 2FAs and whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We need to store them in order to make them convenient. Okay. So we've got an application that you go to one application, now you're storing 600 passwords. They're all inside there. And when I go to GitHub, great advertising for GitHub this morning. When I go to GitHub, it will go, you want to go into this application. Is this the record you actually want? You might have two records going inside there. So it'll go, which one do you actually want? So I want number one. And I click on autofill and it'll put in the username and password for you. So you see the one or two that is correct for that particular application, not the other 600.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If I open up the Web Vault, I can organize my 600 and go work, IT, accounting, finance, trading, whatever. So I can organize myself. So from that point of view, I can go look at it. When I go and use it, I will go to my my Chrome extension, which sits up on the top right-hand corner, and I can just click on it and search GitHub. It'll show me my one or two accounts inside there, and I just launch for it. So it's quick and easy for me to. It's time-saving. We're all about convenience and time-saving these days, so we're going to use the extension to use it quicker.
Mm-hmm. So this is the password problem or authentication problem. All in all, is not only a problem for a kind of like a person. It's also a problem of a business. In that sense, that people tend to do easy passwords. They tend to reuse their passwords, and wherever the user loses his or her password, will affect also business.
Oh, 100%. 100%. So over the last 10 years, what's actually come into effect is single sign-on. So when I log into an IDP, could be Okta or Azure or Google or any of the other major platforms.
So IDP, what does that mean?
Identity provider.
Identity provider, right.
And so your Office 365 is your identity provider, mm-hmm. Okay? Driven by your business. It's giving you all the applications you actually need. When I log in there, it's a single login for workplace. And I see all my applications, my icons for Salesforce and Keeper and email and all those sort of things. And all I need to do now is click on it.
Yep.
So it's making it easy for me to log in. Okay. So now all my data is inside in that application. For Keeper, all my passwords are inside in that application. So we're trying to make it easy for the workforce to log in, but make sure they're actually secure. Okay, so that's the integration into the IDP. Mm-hmm. So Keeper integrates easily into SAML 2.0 platforms. SAML 2.0 is the protocol that everybody needs to sign up to in order for the programming to work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When we integrate, when I, as a sales engineer, helps a customer to set up the connection, the integration into the IDP, it takes 15 minutes to set it up. It's really easy. Mm-hmm. Documented very well. Its settings are done very well. We bring over the exchange of information so the handshake is done easily. And it takes no time at all to set it up. So we guide them through it. And within a couple of minutes, then we'll set up the SCIM integration as well, which helps me to enroll somebody new. So now I can go and take a group of people, give the Keeper application to that group, and immediately then that group then gets an email to go, hey, listen, you have been enrolled in Keeper. Do you want to open up this email and get started in your Keeper steps to get going? Along with seeing your little icon inside your Office 365 user profile so that you can open it up inside there or use the extension to open it up.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get used to open it up either on the extension or inside in your Office 365 user profile, that's the way you're going to continue to open it up.
Mm-hmm. So okay? this is in that way you can guide and you can set policy on passwords of not reusing any of those.
So after we integrate those users, I would then go through the IT team and then set up a policy. And the policies are rules for the users to use the application. So I generally set up a small number of roles, contractors, IT and management, and general staff. General staff would be allowed to share inside the company and not share outside the company. The length of password, any new password is going to use from there on, and that might start at 16 or maybe 25 as a minimum. And they need to be complex. So then each password, when we use the DICE, will automatically have the complexity set into it, either one or two uppercase or one or two numbers, and they must be in a minimum of, let's say, 20 characters then at that point. And we've also added in passphrases. Passphrases are really nice because if I need to put in my Netflix password onto a TV, I can then read the word and it'll go... I'm looking around me here for stuff. I'll say Ronnie dash over dash Estonia dash 123 dash ministries. And now I can actually read that because they're words, and it's five words separated by a dash, and I can read it. I can put it up inside there. So for that point of view, again, we're making it easy for people to transfer a password onto a device, and it's long and complex. Probably longer than the 20 characters we started off with, but that's great.
Yeah.
So we've got that convenience as well to be able to use long, complex passwords in different locations. So that'd be one reason for having a passphrase as opposed to a password. Then going down the rest of the policy of how easy is it to import and export information. When you start off with your company life, I need to get all my passwords in. Am I coming from another vendor? Or am I coming from the password? The browser passwords,
yep.
And how I need to get them all in. So then they're all in and I put them into my folders and I'm organized to share and I'm organized to keep my own ones private. And that's great. So now I want to leave the company because I've got another opportunity to go someplace else. That information inside in that work vault is actually belonging to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not allowed to export it. If I'm the CEO of that company and I ask for permission to export it, you, Ronnie, can give me permission to export that information just on that one permission basis. Whereas everybody else, I'm not going to allow them to steal information easily. I'm going to make sure that it's blocked out. So we can allow or disallow people being able to take out information. And then, of course, when you leave the organization, I don't want to lose any information that was inside in the vault because we've just said nobody can actually gain access to your vault. But from a work point of view, they've paid for the privilege and it is their information. So we've got the feature there to be able to transfer the information from you to your boss. But that's a business function just for the business. And they then don't lose any information when you're leaving the organization.
Mm-hmm. So it's like complete password management for all the workforce.
Starting from the very smallest companies all the way up to the huge enterprise companies that that we know and love in order to live. And we need the small solicitors down the road. They need a password manager just as much as the big, huge car manufacturers need password managers. Everybody, passwords are just as important as everybody else. So we give everybody the same features. You might buy extra modules, but all the features are actually there for everybody else. Everybody's important.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Password is a real intimate topic. Everyone has one. Hopefully more than one, right?
Hopefully more than one.
Yes. So this has been a really, really interesting discussion. Passwordless future is actually here, and passwords are not gone. So this is the conclusion that we're at. Thank you, Padraig, for coming to the show.
Thank you very much. It's been really a really good experience to do this with you this morning. Thank you.
And hopefully we will meet again on this show. So if you like this episode on the talk of passwords, then please, 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 please press like, comment, share, tell your friends your password. No, not your password. tell your friends to listen to the Cybercast podcast. And in 2 weeks, another topic. Bye.
Thank you.